Last month, the country of Qatar helped end Lebanon's seemingly endless political crisis. Qatar prodded rival Lebanese politicians into making a deal. As a result, Lebanon now has a president, a summer tourism season that's already booming, and hopefully a cabinet in the next few weeks. It's just the latest feather in Qatar's diplomatic cap. The tiny Gulf country has been talking with all the players in the volatile Middle East, from Israel to Iran to Syria, and it seems to be having results. Ben Gilbert begins his report in Beirut.
When violence erupted in Lebanon a month ago, many thought the country was heading into another all-out civil war. But then Qatar came to the rescue. It flew leaders of the Lebanese factions to Qatar's capital, Doha, and put them up at a five-star hotel. For a week, Qatar's emir and prime minister shuttled back and forth between rooms late into the night to come up with a solution. And eventually they did, the Doha Agreement. Since then, a Haagen-Dazs ice cream shop in Beirut has paid tribute to Qatar. The shop is now selling the Doha Agreement cone. It's red, white, and green, the colors of the Lebanese flag, and the ad reads, "Taste the reconciliation."
This is a Doha cone. It's very delicious.
Hassan Rad was hired by Haagen-Dazs after the agreement brought peace and a president to Lebanon.
Thanks for Qatar.
Before the agreement, Lebanon endured a year and a half of political stalemate that culminated in 5 days of fighting. The conflict pitted the governing coalition, backed by the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, against a Hezbollah-led opposition, backed by Syria and Iran. But now supporters of both sides have put up "Thank You Qatar" signs. Former Qatari Justice Minister Najib al-Naimi says his country is maintaining neutrality and contact with all sides in a Middle East polarized between Iran and the U.S.
So we see many countries monopolizing and backing, you know, certain numbers of parties, except Qatar. And we have nothing to do on the political or the military sides on the ground in Beirut. So it was an opportunity to proceed on settling the problems.
With 15% of the world's proven natural gas reserves, Qatar's GDP has grown sixfold in the last 10 years to $66 billion a year, giving its citizens one of the highest per capita GDPs in the world. Paul Salem of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Beirut says that financial power has helped Qataris gain the confidence to forge their own foreign policy, and that means making friends with everyone.
They have good relations with Iran and Russia, and even better relations with the United States. So they have good relations recently with Saudi Arabia, of course. Previously to that, they had very bad relations. But they've fixed those relations, so that pretty much leaves them on good terms with everybody.
Even Israel. In April, Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni gave a keynote address at a Doha trade forum. 1 month later, Qatari Prime Minister Sheikh Hamad bin Jassim sat down with officials from Israel's archenemy, Hezbollah, to hammer out the Lebanon deal. Late last year, Qatar hosted Iran's president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, at the Gulf Cooperation Council's annual meeting. And although Qatar has no official diplomatic contact with Israel, the Israelis do maintain a government trade office in Doha, a major taboo in most of the Arab world. Qatar is also home to the U.S. military's media nemesis, Al Jazeera. 20 minutes from Al Jazeera's offices here in Doha sits the headquarters of the U.S. Central Command, which runs the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Paul Salem says Qatar's unique regional approach to foreign policy has a lot to do with its leaders.
I think it is partly reflective of the personality of the prime minister, frankly. He was a very, very outspoken person and very much somebody who works outside of the box and has for a long time. He's pioneered relations with Israel at a time when nobody even dared talk about that. And the emir's wife are very dynamic individuals who are also thinking outside of the box. And I think that is interestingly reflected in their foreign policy.
Qatar has a lot riding on its diplomatic balancing act. With a U.S. base on its soil, Iran a short boat ride away, and Saudi Arabia looming on its only land border, the tiny country is vulnerable. The more Qatar can do to bring warring factions together in the region, the more it protects itself and furthers its goal of being a regional power broker. For The World, I'm Ben Gilbert.